Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, 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 it is in the name of Jesus that we honor and we magnify your name. We give you glory in this place today. You are the Most High God. You are the Holy One of the ages. There is no God beside you. You see us, you know us, you love us. That's a wonder in itself. God, you're kind and you're merciful and you're long-suffering. God, and that's a wonder in itself. God, we just thank you, Lord God, for your plans and your purposes concerning us in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for him today. Father, as we're entering into this season where we're celebrating and remembering his birth, Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord God, for he is the Spirit of truth. Thank you for the Holy Ghost helping us see and appreciate Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Father. Ooh, we thank you. We thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your word today, for your word is truth. Your word sets us free, makes us free when we dwell therein. So we thank you for your living word today, Father. In the name of Jesus, the most holy one, Savior, Redeemer. Woo! Hey, light of the world. Hey, thank you. Hey, our hope. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was praying and preparing for this message, this song came to mind. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then the next line repeats, all other ground is sinking sand. It begins, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. Today, I want to talk to you about holding on to that earnest expectation, which is Jesus, which is found in Jesus Christ and all that God has for us. Hope is an expecting, an urgent and an earnest expecting God to be God and for him to fulfill every promise that he has made us in Jesus Christ. We're not talking about wishing something will happen today. We're talking about hope because hope is founded in Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. We have a living hope today. We have an earnest expectation that what God has promised, God will do. Hope says it's not happening right away, but eventually it's going to happen. Hope says that God has promised me something and I'm stretching my neck and I'm looking around the corner and I'm expecting God to do what he said. Hope says I don't believe that I'm going to be let down. Hope says I'm getting excited about before I even see it. Hope says I know God gonna do it, so I'm getting my feet ready to dance. Hope says I throw up my hand because even though I don't see it right now, I know God gonna do it because God can't fail. Hope says I expect God. Isaiah 40 says, they that wait or look expectantly to the Lord shall renew their strength. Not maybe. Shall. Say, my hope is in Christ today. I believe God, church. I believe God, church. Hope is an anchor for our soul. Hope keeps your soul from drifting. It keeps your soul from going into other places. It keeps your mind from wandering into other things. Hope centers you in on God himself. Hope makes us know that I'm not expecting anything from you. I'm expecting it from God. It may come through you, but I'm looking for God to do it. Huh? Hallelujah. Today we're looking for Jesus to come a second time. And there was a time when the world was waiting for him to come the first time. And so I want to go back a little bit. And in order for me to go back and not run away and get excited, I had to write stuff down today. Because y'all know me, I'll be gone. In Genesis 3:15, after the man and the woman had eaten the forbidden fruit. And why was it forbidden? Because their eating the fruit that God told them not to eat was going to cause them to die. And God had not created them to die. He had created them to live. And so God commanded the man and the woman that he set in the garden not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because it would kill them. But they ate anyway. But God, who had a plan even before they ate, God who had a plan before time, his plan was not altered. God was not taken aback by what they did. He knew what they were going to do. And so he was already ready for him. Can you hear what I'm saying? So in Genesis 3:15, he promised the Savior, one who would restore them to all that they had lost and everything that they had not yet experienced. These two people who had never known a worry. These two people who had never known what it meant to be sorrowful. These two people who had never known what it meant to have sickness. These two people who didn't have an inkling of what it was to have a broken heart would soon learn that that one act of disobedience had opened a door to pain and suffering that they could not even have begun to anticipate because they knew nothing about darkness. They knew nothing about pain. One thing that would be a heartbreaker for them is that their one son was going to murder the other son. Imagine your heartbreak, mom and dad, if one of your children were to kill another one. If one of your children would kill a sibling, that is just unfathomable. That is painful beyond explanation. Some feelings that we have run so deep that we don't have words for them. And these two people are experiencing murder. Experiencing murder, and not because Abel had done anything to Cain, but because he was jealous of his brother. He killed his brother. We need to see how deep and how dark the fall was and how much we do need a Savior. Did you hear me say do need a Savior? Not just needed a Savior, but do need a Savior and will need a Savior. But God, who is merciful, started to set his plan into motion even that day when he spoke those words, because Isaiah 55 says that when the word of God goes from his mouth, it accomplishes his purpose. And God spoke a Savior, not a Savior, but the Savior into the earth at that time. Now let's fast forward to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read those verses. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Do y'all mind if I take my time today? Because I want to tell the story. I want to tell the greatest story that's ever been told, part 1 today. The greatest story that's ever been told, part 1 today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, listen. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many families?
All.
That means your family too.
All.
Say, that means my family too. Because sometimes we wonder, Lord, what's wrong with my family? But he said, every family. Every family. Y'all don't hear me. Every family is going to be blessed in this earth, any family that ever came on the face of the earth, I don't care how rowdy, I don't care how dark, some blessing is coming out of that family. Somebody gonna be saved out of that family. Y'all don't hear me? It can't be ugly enough. He said every family. And he meant what he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God, through a man named Abram, renews the promise that he made in Genesis 3:15 to the first man and to the first woman. The Savior is coming. The Lord repeated this promise to Isaac and Jacob, saying to Jacob in Genesis 28, and I'm going to read that too. Genesis 28, verses 15. Let me get to it. Chapter 28, verse 15. And God adds to the promise. He makes the promise. And then he says something that I love that he said to Jacob. I always go back to this, and I really love to read it in the King James. Genesis 28, I went all the way over to Exodus. Excuse me. Okay, if I was flipping my pages, I wouldn't have went over there. Okay, 28, he says to him, verse 15, I love it. He says, Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. And this is the part I love. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. The promises to Jacob then and the promises to us now, because God is promising prophetically a Savior, the Savior. God is promising the Savior. So God promises the Savior, and we are looking for and hoping, they are looking for and they are hoping for the Savior at that time. And so God says to them, the Savior is coming. About 1,000 years later, David received the promise that God was establishing his throne forever. God was saying that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was descending from David's lineage. He renews once again the promise that the Savior is coming. Fast forward to Isaiah chapter 9, 600 years before the birth of Jesus. And we're going to turn over there and look at Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to see what God says about the birth of Jesus. Because now God is beginning to fine tune this thing. Not just somebody's coming, but he starts to fine tune this thing. And gives us a picture of the one that's coming to save. And what he's going to do as the Savior. Isaiah chapter 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beginning in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us, can you see it? For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. See, God is fine tuning the promise of this Savior that's coming. He's showing us a picture of all that he's going to do. He's going to trample the enemy under your feet. He's going to trample the enemy under his feet. And under his feet, and because they're under his feet, the enemy is under our feet. I'm going to get this out. Can you hear what I'm saying? And so God says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, not the Senate, not the Congress, not the president. The government shall be upon his shoulder. not Ukraine, not Russia, not all these crazy leaders that's living today. The government is up on his shoulder, church. We're in a safe place because we're in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, you can't touch me. You can't take from me what God has given me because I have a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The government shall be upon his shoulders and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Can't you see that God was at work and God is at work because he does not change? How do I know he's at work? Because he does not change over time. He's still doing what he said from the beginning. He's still doing what he said in Genesis 3:15. He's still doing what he said in Genesis 12. He's still doing what he said in Genesis 28. He's still doing what he said in 2 Samuel 7 when he told David, I'm going to establish your throne forever. And the king that will sit on that throne will rule forever. He's promising him that Jesus is coming through his lineage. He said, now we got a better picture where the Savior coming from. He's coming out of Judah. And he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He on his way. He on his way. They wait. He's on his way. He's on his way. Oh, he's on his way. He's on his way. He's on his way. I know we waiting for the second one, but let's deal with them and the first time he came. Hallelujah. 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 Then in Isaiah 40, 600 years before his birth, the prophetic utterance would be uttered by the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to look over there too. Isaiah 40. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40. And sometimes just stop and read Isaiah 40. Because that whole chapter just blows your mind. Hallelujah. But these words are uttered in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3-5. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. How many valleys? And every mountain and hill be made low. How many mountains and hills? The uneven ground shall become level. And the rough places made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God is still talking about the coming Savior. And now we're seeing that he's going to straighten out everything that's wrong. And anything that needs to be made right is going to be made right. Can you hear what I'm saying? Anything that needs to be made right in your life is going to be made right, because it's not just to Israel, but the promise is to us through Jesus Christ. In here today, we have hope. We have hope. We have a reason to expect God, because he promised and he cannot lie. And John the Baptist stood up and cried these words and uttered these words in Luke chapter 1. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 1. I got ahead of myself in the story. But anyway, he uttered the words that the forerunner of Jesus, John, would utter to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. In Luke chapter 1, we find a man and a woman called Zechariah and Elizabeth. Thank you, Father. I want you to see how God is consistent, how God is faithful, how God unfolds his plan, how God reveals to us what we need to see when we need to see it. They didn't understand in the garden. Abraham didn't understand everything. But as time went on, things were revealed more and more. And then we get to the writings of the Apostle Paul. And he explains everything nobody could understand. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He explains everything, the Christ and how he came and why he came. Hallelujah. But in Luke chapter 1, we read, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word that have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. What I want you to see is, you know, when we read in the Old Testament, we read all those names and we can't pronounce all those names. And we see all these people. And then in just a few seconds here, God brings all these people from all these generations together to culminate his story and to give us a picture of what he's been saying all along. He gave us bits and pieces here and there, little here, little there. And now these people and their names are all coming together. And it means something to say that Elizabeth was of the daughters of Aaron. It means something. And they were both righteous before God. Listen, both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. They're past childbearing now. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." John's job was to get people ready for the first coming of the Lord. God took a barren couple to return unto them the time of life so that they could bring forth the promised one from the book of Isaiah, who would declare and proclaim the coming of the Lord. Get ready, get ready, get ready, John was saying, because he is coming. He is coming. The Savior is coming. Listen, God's word is not going to ever falter or fail. If God said it, it is coming to pass. God has a time for everything under the sun to happen. Because it doesn't happen in the season when it looks like it should have happened, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Because if this man and woman were going to have a child, it should have been when she could. It looks like it should have been when they could. But God waited till they couldn't, so that we could see that it's him. It's his glory. On Christ the solid rock I stand. My hope is in him. It's not in my body. It's not in my finances. It's not in my family. It's in Christ. It's not in this nation. It's in Christ. Yeah. old people. Can't have nobody. But they gonna have somebody. Because God has already said, 600 years before, that John is coming. You better get God off that time schedule. It's not your plan. It's not your plan. That life you got, that's not your life. Mm-mm, it's God's plan. God by now. And you become like those dry bones in Ezekiel 37. You become hopeless because your hope was in what you could see and not the God who promised. Hope is an anchor for your soul. It's to help your mind to stay steady. It's for you not to go back, but to stay with God. And whatever you do, don't look back, because your past, some of these pasts we got, will make you say, God wouldn't do it for me. But if he said he would, that means he wiping a slate clean. You didn't do it anymore. You got to understand, that was the old person. You brand new in Jesus Christ now. I'm so glad I'm new. I don't know what to do. I'm so glad. Because I wouldn't take her anywhere. Thank you, Jesus. God gave him a word for the son that was coming that's already been promised in Isaiah 600 years before. Watch God. And Zechariah said to the angel, now how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. See, you ain't believing nothing. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Now it ought to be good news to you, old man, that God is going to return to you the time of life. And during that time and that return, you're going to be able to have a son that is the forerunner of the long awaited Messiah. And the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. I want to insert right here. Sometime God have to shut you up. So then he can get his promise accomplished in your life. Sometimes he just have to shut people up because he don't want you saying stuff out of turn. He said, because you didn't believe, because of your unbelief, God will just shut your mouth and you won't see anything. And when it comes to pass, you'll be so glad to be able to talk again, because this man gonna really be glad to talk in a minute. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. It's going to happen, sir, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. You won't talk. And the people were waiting for Zechariah and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. What is he doing in there? Don't take that long to do what he's supposed to do. He should be out of there by now. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife, guess what? Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, the Lord has done for me. In the days when he looked on, thus the Lord has done for me, in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Not only did God get his purpose established, but he took away that woman's sorrow. God is a personal God who has a big plan. Overwhelmingly big plan. And in his big plan, he's got time for Ivy and what concerns her. He has time for Paul and what concerns him. Whatever is broken, whatever seems to be missing, whatever seems to not be happening fast enough or soon enough, he has time in his plan for Regina. God is running the whole universe and knows you on purpose. Knows about you on purpose. Understands where your heart is. Understands what questions are there. Understands the sorrows. Understands the things that make you tick. Understands all about you. Understands your slothfulness. Understands your joy, your get up and go. Whatever state of your being, he understands you. And what the state of your being is not going to alter the plan of God. He's going to fix you as he's doing everything else. He was very personal to her. She's about to bring the forerunner of Jesus in the world, but she's excited because she can have a baby now, and people are not going to be talking about her. Because in those days when a woman couldn't bear a child, she was a reproach. People talked about her. She was not a woman. She must not be a woman. She never had a baby. And God has taken all of that talk away, and he's given this woman joy. She might be excited about John, but she's real excited that there's a baby at all. Hallelujah. God wants us to know today there's hope beyond your hopelessness. God wants us to know that our hope is in Jesus Christ today. God wants you to know that there is nothing that he has told you to expect that you cannot expect. There's nothing broken in your life that God won't fix. He wants us to know that today. He wants us to know all those empty places. Oh my God, he's going to fill them up. Hey, all of those gaps in your life. Every time you get somewhere and in a gap, God said, all those gaps, I'm filling them in today. God is healing wounded hearts today. God is healing bodies today. Can you hear what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. 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 The doctor's report is not going to hinder what God wants to do. Can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? God wants your longing fulfilled. God wants the broken dreams in your life to come to pass. He wants those shaky family relationships healed. Those things that you think you can't get past because somebody said something that broke you. God said, no, I'm bringing you past that. Can you hear what I'm saying? Because some things have been said to you that make you feel like you can't get up and stay up. But God said, no, 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 no. Jesus came to wipe the slate clean. We have hope today. Our hope is in Christ today. That incurable disease is no longer incurable. God's going to be healing stage 4 cancer right here in this house. Right here in this house. Yes, he is. Diabetes is going to leave right here in this house. Y'all don't hear me. High blood pressure going to leave in this house. Rheumatoid arthritis leaving in this house. That empty bank account that's been empty every time you look at it. God said, I'm going to fill it up. No such thing as so broken it can't be fixed. Our hope is where? Where's your hope? I can't hear you. Where's your hope? It's in Christ. It's not in the doctor's report. It's not in your bank statement. It's not in the way your kids are acting. Y'all don't hear me. It's not in how that marriage is going. It's in Christ. He's going to fix it all. And in this lesson, we can see the faithfulness of God. We can see God telling and giving promises. And he's moving toward those promises. And we know today that Jesus came. We know he lived. We know he died. We know he's resurrected. We know he ascended. And we know he's coming back. Because God said, you got to read the back of the book. I've always had this habit. I want to see how the book go in, because if I don't like the way the book went go in, I'm not going to read it. Well, I went to the back of the book, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the King of Kings. I saw the Lord of Lords. And I found out I won't need that son out there no more, because he's going to be my son. I saw that there's going to be peace. I saw that the lions and the lambs will lay together, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is going to bring peace to this earth. I read the back of the book. I read that the back of the book, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more broken family ties. There will be no more worry, no more sorrow, no more crazy killings. In the name of Jesus. I read the back of the book. I have hope in the God who spoke a word that brought an anchor to my soul. I don't know about you, but I'm mighty glad today. Read the back of the book. Greatest story ever told, part one. We'll finish it next time, maybe. Father, we thank you for the hope, hey, that we have in Christ today. Hey. Hey. Thank you for what you did for Elizabeth. But you didn't stop there. Hey, God, for you doing it for us in this place today. Father, as you perfect and complete and bring to completion your plan concerning your man, we thank you, God, that you're making all things right, all things well that concern us. Father, we thank you for the wounded heart that will suffer no longer. For oh, God, Mona's not even here, but I keep seeing her. I've been seeing her since 2 o'clock this morning. Jesus, wherever she is, Father, I pray that she's experiencing you, that she's resting in you, and that she's trusting you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we pray and we thank you for what you have done and what you are doing in our midst. We thank you, God, for building a people who will walk worthy of the calling that you've placed upon us. Father, we thank you. And today, Father, we're not hoping in this world around us. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Savior that you promised in Genesis 3:15. The Savior that you told Abram, who became Abraham, was coming. We thank you for the Savior that sits on the throne of David and will reign forever. We thank you, Lord God, for John the forerunner who came to tell us and to prepare us for his coming. We thank you for the Johns that are in the earth today who are preparing us for the second coming. For surely as you came, Jesus came the first time, we know that he's coming a second time. Father, I thank you that you're preparing us for that second coming. Woo-wee. Ha. Oh, God, when all things will be gathered into Jesus Christ, every person, every generation, we thank you, God, oh, God, that the salvation goes back to the Garden of Eden and extends, Lord God, to the end of time. We thank you for you being the forever Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in here who doesn't know Jesus as Savior,